We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I welcome you here for the fourth week of our Killer Sermon series. All right, quick review. Jesus tells us about a thief who comes only to do three things. Name those three things: steal, kill, and destroy. A killer is a person or a thing that takes life. Somewhere in your life, there is a killer, something taking your life from you. Can we turn on those lights? I already see people yawning. We want to just turn those lights up bright on them. I don't want them falling asleep. I might poison your cereal if you fall asleep. There are foolish killers. In the second week, we talked about the foolish killers. They were called what? Killer clowns, and they tempt us with what seems like fun, but behind their back they have a mallet and they are going to destroy you. They have a hidden agenda to kill. And then last week I told you the very controversial idea that killing is bad. Killing is bad, but it is always worse than you think. Because homicide, can anybody remember? Homicide is fratricide, and it is also deicide, and it is eventually suicide. Homicide is fratricide. That's the killing of a brother or sister. And it is also deicide. That is the killing of God, because you are made in the image of God. And ultimately, it is killing yourself, which is suicide. Today, I want to talk to you, of course, about serial killers. See, now the bumper video makes sense. These altars are open anytime you're ready. All right. Excellent. A serial killer is a person who commits a series of murders, often with no apparent motive, and typically following a predictable behavior pattern. If I asked us to name a serial killer, I bet everyone in here could probably name at least one serial killer. Raise your hand if you could name a serial killer by name. Okay. Excellent. We all could, right? Jack the Ripper was never caught. He had a killing spree in London in the late 1800s. Have you ever heard the term boogeyman? That comes from a serial killer. He scared the children so badly that they referred to this serial killer named Albert Fish around the turn of the 20th century. They started calling him the boogeyman. Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Zodiac Killer, the DC sniper attacks, all well-known serial killers. That is just scratching the surface. It is interesting that serial killers are not just an American thing. Every nation has a list of serial killers. The deadliest serial killer on record is Luis Garavito, who in the 1990s killed at least 138 proven victims. It is possible that this serial killer actually had over 300 victims in South America. We don't like to think about serial killers. Sorry to bring it up. I know it is a downer, but they do exist. There are killers out there, and ignoring them will not make them go away. It would be so terrible to find yourself at the hands and mercy of a serial killer. Can I get an amen? I want to give you a quick serial killer checklist. All serial killers have these three characteristics. Number one, a growing body count. Say that out loud. A growing body count. Next, the killings are aimless. They have no motive. Say that. Aimless, no motive. And then last, they have a predictable pattern. Say it. Predictable pattern. Some people are serial killers. You can see the body count grow. And you look around their life and you see aimless, motiveless deaths. You wonder, you say to yourself, why did they even do that thing? Why did they even say that thing? I know that you do that, right? You do that. You have that conversation. And then, of course, you see the pattern. You know what they're going to do before they do, because not only is it a pattern, it is a just incredibly predictable pattern. You probably know some serial killers. Here's some serial killers that don't make the front headlines, but they are ever bit as deadly. relationship serial killers. They kill marriage after marriage. They kill friendship after friendship. You are thinking of someone right now that probably fits the bill of someone in your life. How about somebody who just keeps destroying their finances? Right? They're like a serial killer of finances. Anytime they've got a good break in life, they make a bad decision that takes them back to ground zero, and they've killed their bank account once again. They have got another credit card in the mail, and it is not good news, right? How about this? Some people have been serial killers when it's come to their jobs. Somebody say amen if I'm talking to somebody, right? You've known somebody like that. They get a job, and it's like, the last job was terrible. Maybe the next job's good. You know what? Every job they've ever had has been terrible. And you start to think, maybe, just maybe, it's not the job. Because the common denominator from job to job to job is them. How about people that kill their health in patterns, in aimless behavior? How about people that kill dreams? They just break people's dreams over and over again. They are so negative. You dare not have a dream around this person because they'll kill it. How about people that kill promises? They make a promise, they kill it. They make a new promise, they kill it. It's like they are searching for promises to destroy. And last, controversially, I'll say this. Some people kill churches. They go from church to church, and they just bring negative junk with them. It happens. None of y'all, you guys are awesome. But I'm just saying, there are people like that. Do you know the Bible story of Jesus and the serial killer? Raise your hand if you know that one. You know that one? Gosh, she's been reading the Greek or something. There is a story in your Bible. You know this story, but I'm going to paint it for you in a different way today. That Jesus met with a serial killer. Turn to John chapter 4. Jesus and the serial killer is what I think I want to name today's sermon. Jesus and the serial killer. John chapter 4, verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." I'm telling you that Jews had some racial problems, didn't they? But Jesus didn't. Isn't that awesome? Verse 13, Jesus answered, speaking of the well water, he says this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." Verse 17, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have that you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." The serial killer in this story is the Samaritan woman. It's the Samaritan woman. There's always a body count with a serial killer. What's the body count in her story? Five dead marriages, and already with another dude right now that's not her marriage. Is she aimless? Motiveless? Yes, we can't see any evidence that she's ever tried to fix this problem. She just hops right into another relationship. Let's just say it like it is. She hops right into another bed. She hops right into another experience. She hops right into these things without fixing anything in her life. She's got this aimless, motiveless pattern. We see a pattern, don't we? She runs to man after man. She is even with a man at this moment who is not her husband. The woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, is a relational serial killer. Are you still with me today? I want to tell you something about serial killers. They can't help themselves. Serial killers can't help themselves. I'm not here to judge the Samaritan woman. I'm not here to judge anybody that's had relationship problem after relationship problem. If you've had financial problems, if you've had health problems, if you've had job problems, if you've had church problems, whatever your problems are, that's not the point of this sermon. We're not pointing that out. But I got to tell you something. There is no reason to judge them so harshly because they cannot help themselves. Say it with me. Serial killers can't help themselves. This woman was actually powerless to change. Do you sense that about her? It is likely that she wanted to change, but she was not able to change. Now, do you agree that the phrase powerless to change, it kind of bothers you, that phrase? Does that kind of bother you? It kind of bothers me. Almost seems like sacrilege to use in the good old U.S. of A, where we've got independence and we can just do anything we want. To say that we're powerless to change kind of bristles up my American neck hairs. We love that. We love to think that we can always change, but I want to tell you right now that there are problems in life that you cannot change on your own, and serial killers can't help themselves. Serial killers are psychopaths. Serial killers, here's some things about them. They don't fear pain. They don't fear punishment. Some of us, let's just get real, there are things we don't do because it would hurt. That's painful. I wouldn't do that. There's punishment attached to the end of it. I will not rob a bank because I am not good enough to get away with it. I would get absolutely caught, and there would be great punishment. I would never see any of you again because people usually frown on bank robbing pastors. You might not know that, but it's a thing. It's a thing. Read it on Twitter. It's trending. Psychopaths are calloused and unemotional, whereas maybe you would feel an emotion on doing something wrong. These serial killers, these psychopaths in these areas, they've developed calluses on their hearts where they do not feel. So it's not a hindrance to them. Health experts say that a serial killer, a psychopath, cannot be cured. Doesn't matter how many counseling sessions they go to. It doesn't matter how much medication they're on. That there is something broken inside of them that cannot be cured. They are forever fixated upon the pattern. They're captured by the pattern. They are controlled by the pattern. Do you ever feel like you can't break free of a pattern? Yeah. Just being honest with you, I had way too many diet sodas in the last 7 days, okay? I'm going to get back on that. I'm going to do better. Don't judge me. Serial killers can't help themselves. I can serial kill a Diet Coke in a moment, all right? Can't help myself. I'm going to do better, though. But I'm controlled by a pattern. If I have one, sir, I'm going to have another. It's going to happen. Do you ever feel like you can't break free of a pattern, whatever that pattern is? No matter how you try, the pattern remains the same. Romans 8 warns us about this pattern. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5. Look at this. Those who live according to the flesh. There's the pattern right there. It's the flesh. Have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Everything flows out of the pattern. If the pattern is the flesh, what comes out of that pattern? Flesh. If the pattern is spirit, what comes after that pattern? Spirit. You've got to pay attention to the pattern. You're going to be controlled by a pattern. With verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It continues saying. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Can you imagine being hostile to God? Yeah, there are patterns that'll make you do that. The pattern of sin will make you hostile to God. You will defiantly shake your fist at God. There's a place you can go in God that, where you curse his name and walk away from him. What is it? What's wrong? What is wrong with those people? It's not the people as much as it is the pattern. It's the pattern. Everyone say pattern. That mind governed by the flesh. That mind governed by the flesh. It's death. That mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Next it says it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The flesh can never submit to God's law. It can't even do it. Verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Does the pattern of flesh sound bad? Oh yeah, it is. They're words like death. They're words like that are like hostile to God. You're separated from God. Unable to please God. Unable to submit to his rule. The flesh is everything. What is the flesh? Here it is. It is everything that is carnal, sinful, dishonest, lustful, hateful, and greedy. That is what the flesh is. Everything that doesn't please God, that is what the flesh is. Serial killers, they are controlled by the pattern. The woman at the well was controlled by the pattern. Let's be honest, we too are controlled by patterns. You don't think you're controlled by a pattern? Let somebody do something to you that you don't like and you will fly off the handle. You will try to get over it and you'll get over it for 5 minutes and then 5 minutes later, you're not over it again. I've been there. I live there. It's a pattern. It's truthful. Let's be honest. We are controlled by a pattern. I don't know what your pattern is, but there is a pattern in you after the flesh. You can't help it because you are flesh. Serial killers can't help themselves. They're controlled by a pattern. If the serial killer could change the pattern, most would. If we could change the pattern, we would. But we need God to change the pattern. We need God to change those things that are hostile to him. Those things that bring death, those things that cause us to never be able to submit, those things that cause us to never be able to please him. God can change you from the inside out, put a brand new pattern, and he can wash all of those things away. Am I in a church that believes what I just said? If so, let's hear it, church. Let's hear it. Let me tell you, that's fresh news, because Alcoholics Anonymous is telling an alcoholic right now that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Down the street at the drug Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, they're telling him once a drug user, always a drug user. You've had people look you in the eye after you lied to them and they said, once a liar, always a liar. You have felt in your heart, I've failed and I'm a failure, and I'm once a failure, always a failure. And you hold yourself to that thing over and over again. You are after a pattern, and that pattern is death. And I got fresh news for you, that once an addict, not always an addict, because God changes the pattern. Once a liar, not always a liar, because he is the truth and he can place his truth inside of you. Once a loser, not always a loser. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Somebody get excited about the pattern. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for the pattern. I want to tell you, you can't change someone else's pattern for them. The aimless, motiveless killing continues because they are controlled by the pattern. I want to tell you, we'll come back to the pattern in a second, but I want to hit some other things that are really important real quick. You need to avoid aimless people. Can you say ghost ship? Ghost ship. Do you know what a ghost ship is? Sounds creepy, right? The number one cause of boating and shipping accidents is a ghost ship. A ghost ship is an unmanned sea vessel. Oftentimes, in the night, when everybody's gone home, somebody didn't tie a good enough knot, and a little sea vessel or a large sea vessel can come loose from the dock and unmanned just float out into the sea, carried by an aimless, motiveless current. And in the night when it's hard to see, sometimes these shipping vessels, unmanned, will drift out into a sea channel where somebody with somewhere to go is traveling. Somebody with a plan is heading this direction, and they've got a plan for their life. They've got cargo that they're carrying somewhere. They've got people that they're carrying somewhere. They've got a plan. They're headed, but in the middle of the night, before they can turn it, before they notice it, it is too late. And a vessel that is aimless has drifted out in front of the ship with an actual plan and purpose, and they end up wrecking both vessels. That is the number one cause for shipping accidents. It is a ghost ship. It is unmanned. It is unmotivated. It is just adrift. Can I tell you, avoid ghost ships? Look at somebody, say, avoid ghost ships. Avoid aimless people. You got a plan and you got a purpose for your life. But there are people that will just float out without any plan whatsoever, and they'll just get right in your way, and you'll just be wondering what happened when you come in contact with them, because not only do they go down, but they bring you down too. You got to avoid aimless people and aimless behavior. You got somewhere to go in life. You can't be aimless. You can't be unmotivated. You got to go there. But that's not enough. It's not enough to have motivation, because people that are unmotivated can take down motivated people. People who just float with whatever is easiest will wreck you. Avoid aimless people. Thankfully, we have a Savior who will give us a new aim. If you are one of those aimless people, if you feel particularly unmotivated, if you feel like you are adrift, I got news for you. You have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who will give you an aim. He will give you a motivation. Can I get an amen? Next, I want to tell you, avoid morgues. Avoid morgues. Avoid body count people. Would you like to go hang out with me at the morgue later? We'll buy a pizza. We'll sit in the morgue, eat some pizza. Doesn't sound fun at all, right? Why? Because there's dead people all over the place in a morgue, right? This is not hard to understand. You would never want to hang out in a morgue with a bunch of dead bodies. Don't tell me that's true, because if that's true, I will lay hands on you right now and pray. There are people that are very much like a morgue. Everything they touch, everything they deal with is dead. Everything they say is dead. Every thought they have is dead and negative. It's like being in a morgue around these people. They never have a healthy, thriving relationship. They have never had a promotion on the job. Instead, they blow up the job, killing it and anyone else around. The body count keeps climbing with some people. They are like a morgue. You need to avoid ghost ship, aimless people. But you also need to avoid morgues. You need to avoid people with a stream of death following after them. Body count growing around them. Avoid people like that. Thankfully, if you are that, if you're in that place today where you feel dead, where you feel like you don't have life anywhere around you, I want to tell you, we have a Jesus who doesn't just bring people back to life. He looked at a woman in the eyes once and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." If you are dead in this place, I got news for you that you have a Jesus who will bring you back to life. Not just a life, but a life to the full. Amen. Come back to the pattern. People are controlled by the pattern. You can do your best to avoid certain kind of people, certain kind of situations, but this pattern, the pattern of the flesh, it only brings death. There is no, but it'll be different this time. Have you ever heard someone say that? It just like made you just want to, maybe you did flip your little bit. What do you mean it'll be different this time? No, it won't. It's starting the same as the last chapter. We know how the last chapter ended. This one's going to end the same. Don't believe those lies. It's going to be different this time. It's the same pattern. Yeah, but this person's different. There you go. I want to tell you, the person may be different, but as long as you are controlled by the pattern, you will experience an endless body count of death. Don't you do it. I want to tell you, Jesus gives us a new pattern. Look at somebody, say, Jesus gives us a new pattern. Back in John chapter 4 with that woman at the well, Jesus attacks the pattern. Look at this subtlety right here. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He was talking about what water? The water in the well. The water that the woman every day came to. The water that she formed a pattern. Every time she was thirsty, she had to go back to this well. And he looks at her and says, if you drink this water, if you go after this pattern right here, you will become thirsty again. This water from the well will only satisfy for a moment. And then you will be back with the same thirst. You will be back because you are controlled by the pattern. Verse 14, he attacks the pattern right here. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus gives a new pattern, and his new pattern contains life. It contains a new way to live. It contains answers. It contains hope. You can almost feel hope in the woman's voice. We aren't there. We didn't hear her say these words. We're just reading it, and we're putting our own emotion in it. But when you say that, sir, give me this water, I gotta feel like there's hope. She believes, maybe for the first time in a long time, that things could be different because she's met Jesus. Our response needs to be, Jesus, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Do you think she's actually talking about the well water anymore? I think she's talking about the longing in her heart. If I know Jesus, he's talking about that thirst within her heart, and she feels it. I believe she understood immediately that he was talking about dead relationship after dead relationship. She was thirsty for new water. She was thirsty for a new life. You have been drawing from the wrong pattern only to get thirsty again. Jesus gives a new pattern. He gives a new life, and it is an eternal life. John 10:10 remind you, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The pattern of this world is death, but the pattern of Jesus, those that follow after Jesus, they are alive, and they are fully alive, and they have eternal life. That's the pattern of our Savior. A serial killer has a growing body count. He has aimless motives and a pattern of death. Jesus changes the pattern. And Jesus can take a serial killer and make them a serial life giver. Hang with me. Look at this verse. I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't just give life. He gives life to the full. He doesn't just give you water to sustain you. Verse 14, he says, whoever drinks this water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water. The water I give them won't just sustain them. It just won't be a drink. It will become something. It will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The water he gives becomes a spring of water. The water Jesus gives becomes a source of life. He's not just the source of life. He places his source of life within you. Do you understand this? It becomes a wellspring all of its own. They're standing at a well. He says, I will give you a drink that will cause the well to be right here. You don't have to come to the center of town anymore. The well is right here. You don't have to run and find your pastor every other time you're having trouble because the well is right here. If it's Tuesday and it's just too far from Sunday, don't you worry, because you don't have to go to church in order to get a hold of the water, because he not only gives you the water, that water becomes the water source, and it's inside of you, and other people can receive it. Other people can give it. You see, the old pattern is death. The body count stacks up. The new pattern is life. And those that are made alive will grow after the pattern of Christ's resurrection. She just heard about a water source that can be inside of her. You see, we have these low expectations and these low standards. We just want enough to get through the problem. God wants to give us so much more than that. He wants to give us power not only to face this problem, but to face every problem you face. He wants to give you power to face every devil. Some of you just want to get past the devil you got. He gives you power enough to face every devil, face every sickness, face every worry. John chapter 4, verse 28. This is so subtle and beautiful. I love it. Then, leaving her water jar. What did she leave? That's what this was all about, remember? That's why she was at the well to begin with. She hears about new water. She leaves her old water source behind. And what did she do? The woman went back to the town and said to the people, verse 29, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Verse 30, now I want to preach at you for a second. Because you think in your heart, your friend's going to tell you you're such a big dummy for believing in Jesus. You think in your heart of hearts that you can't tell somebody about Jesus because they will make fun of you. They won't receive it. There are young people that go to school that have never shared Jesus. But guess what? There are adults that go to their job and they never share Jesus because they believe if they run and tell somebody about Jesus, they will think poorly of them. But look at verse 30. Look at it. Those people that heard about this man who could be the Messiah, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. She was a serial killer. Everything behind her was death, dead relationship after dead relationship, five strong going on six. The body count of dead relationships followed behind her, but now death is no longer following behind. She just met Jesus. We're not talking she went on a 12-week Bible study. We're not saying she went to Bible college. We're not saying that she learned a bunch of scripture and listened to Chris Tomlin albums for like 5 months straight. No, she just met Jesus. And just like that, the pattern is different. Can I tell you? I just speak by faith that there are going to be people walk in here that the moment, you're going to be so shocked, because one moment there's going to be death following after them. But the moment you see them come in contact with the living one who is Jesus Christ, you are going to see a change in them. You're going to see life come out of them. You're going to see life flow from them. You're going to hear them say things that are alive. They're going to think things that are alive. I'm going to testify to you that your friends that are so dead, they're going to walk into your church. They're going to find this Jesus. He's going to change their pattern, and life is going to come out of them. I wish I had somebody that believed that in this church. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus Christ changes serial killers to serial life givers. People now are following after this woman, being made alive by the living water that only Jesus can give. She says, "Come see a man." That testimony was a wellspring of life. She didn't have to know everything. She didn't know everything. We didn't hear her use any big theological terms. She didn't quote a single scripture. She just said, "I just had an experience. Come experience it too." And that testimony is a wellspring of eternal life. She never had to return to the old well. We never see her pick up the jar again. Because that jar, that old pattern, is no longer what is directing her life. There is now a new wellspring of life inside of her. What is the water, Redemption Church, in New Testament Scripture? What is the water? Jesus says, "If you believe on me, as the Scripture has said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." The very next verse says this: "He spoke to them of the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given, because Jesus Christ had not yet been glorified." Let me tell you, he testified to her of about a water that had not yet been given. But I am talking to people in this place. Jesus Christ has been glorified. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Spirit, that water is available to you right now. That today, that living water can flow outside of you and bring life to everything it touches. That's what living water does. It brings life to everything it touches. I want to ask you as we close, are you a serial killer or are you a serial life giver? Do you have a body count of those being made alive coming after you? If you don't, let's pray about it today. Don't you want to have just a string of people coming after you that are filled with the life of Jesus? Isn't that what you want? Is that what you want? I can't make you want that. Do you want it? Are you aimless? Are you motiveless? Are you just going through the ordinary? Maybe you came to church today just going through the motions. Maybe you plan on just getting by this week. No, sweetheart. The living water is available to you. That is something a serial killer does. A serial life giver is not aimless. That woman knew immediately, I got to tell somebody about this Jesus. And then that pattern. Are you convicted about your pattern today? Come receive a new one. You know what you got to do to get a new pattern? Leroy, you got to break the old pattern. Can I just tell you real quick? There are some things that happen in church. You see somebody raising their hands, and you're like, "What's that about?" Maybe you make light of that. Or maybe you're scared of that. Like, they didn't do that in the church I grew up in. Maybe you are hungry to try it, but, you know, you're worried about what someone else is thinking. Can I tell you what that person that's lifting their hands doing? They're breaking the old pattern. Because these hands, they sin. Now they worship. You hear people, they shout, hallelujah, glory to God. And they lift their voice. And maybe you're in this place, you go, oh, what's that about? They're making me uncomfortable. What's that about? I would never lift my voice like that. Can I tell you what they're doing? This voice has been used to curse people out. This voice has been used to speak negativity and hate to people. But now, hallelujah, it belongs to Jesus and life comes out of this voice. But you got to break the pattern. You can't just sit there and have a new pattern. You got to break the old pattern. These altars are open right now for anybody that wants to break the pattern. Why don't you come up here and throw your hands in the air, worship God, lift up your voice. Maybe you repent of your sins today and ask Him, God, give me a new pattern. If you need a miracle in this place, I want you to come to this altar and we will pray with you. Come in the first 2 feet and we will pray with you. And we believe that the water of life is available to you right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Come on, church, make a move. Break the pattern right now. Father, I pray for everybody listening, watching online. You listen to me, friend. You got to break the pattern. I don't care where you are right now. You need to lift up your hands and start worshiping Him and thanking Him and giving praise to His name. Break the pattern. Take all that's within you and now bless His holy name with it in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, start to call out to the Lord. Start to reach out to the Lord. We need to have that life flowing through us. We need to have that water flowing in us right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's do it. Thank you, Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.